amen to that as well. Every time I think about affliction, sickness, illness, whatever, I think about Brother Claire Bolts' words to me. He said, people need encouragement. And this morning, as we were, before church service, as we were sort of greeting one another, Pastor Rick shared with me a note written by a young lady in our congregation. I won't say her name. She might not want me to call her out. But it was a very nice, encouraging note to all the elders. And he said, hey, read this. I want to share the love. So, young lady, you probably know who you are. Thank you for sharing that note of encouragement. One unto Pastor Drew, and tomorrow we'll share it with Pastor Dan. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and open with me to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. We're talking a little bit about sickness this morning, and I know that all of us have been sick at one time or another. Really, John 11 is all about the death and resurrection of a man named Lazarus. In fact, in my Bible, that's the heading over the chapter. It says, the death and resurrection of Lazarus. But the chapter actually begins with sickness. And since sickness is part of life, even for those who are beloved by Jesus Christ, and since sickness is part of your life, and since I heard an amazing, encouraging message by a man named J.C. Ryle on the subject of sickness, I decided that we would do well to think a bit about that. And so to that end, our text for this morning is John 11, verses 1 through 4. The title of the message is Sickness and This Sickness. John 11, beginning at verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who had anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And so the sisters sent word to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. But when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. And I'll read verse 5 as well. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Verse 1 begins, now a certain man was sick. And then the Greek word for sickness is repeated again in verse 2, again in verse 3, again in verse 4. Four times in four verses, the Spirit of God makes mention here about sickness. And I will tell you that when I originally started studying these verses, I had no intention whatsoever of speaking about sickness. Here's why. Because the text is not really about sickness. It's really about this sickness. Verse 4, Jesus says this sickness. However, Jesus is saying this sickness in contrast to sickness in general. And as part of my study, I listened to a message by J.C. Ryle, who was a great English writer and preacher in the 1800s, entitled Sickness. And I changed course. I hope I don't regret it in the end. But I changed course. Have you ever seen a movie where you're like, oh, this is so good, everybody has to see this? Or maybe you heard a sermon that was so good, you thought, everyone has to hear this. Well, Ryle's writing on sickness, I will send everyone who's on the churchwide email list, I will send you a link to his article and to his article being read later. I would encourage you to listen to it first. I just wanted to share it with you. No, I'm not going to read Ryle's article. There will be snippets of it in today's sermon. But I changed course and I decided, you know what? I am going to speak first about sickness in general and then about this sickness in particular. And hopefully it's worthwhile. I pray it all will be to the glory of God. So first, let's talk about sickness in general because it does come up here. The word is repeated numerous times. And Lazarus was sick, and certainly here's a man who's beloved by Jesus Christ. And so here's what I want you to think about concerning sickness. Sickness is a serious worldwide problem with great potential for good. Serious is a serious worldwide problem with great potential for good. Now, first, I'm sure no one will dispute that it is a serious problem. No one can dispute that. Sickness affects everyone in every place, in every generation. Wherever you go, you find sickness, and you find people who know people who are sick. You find people dealing with it in every land in this world. I've had the privilege of traveling to a lot of countries. How many of you have been to foreign countries? I tell you, there is sickness in every one of them represented by those hands. I was talking to, I think it was Brother Brian this week, talking about how he's had the privilege of being in almost every state in the Union. How many have been to most of the 50 United States? There is sickness in every single one of them. And that's nothing new. It was certainly that way with Jesus Christ. Listen to these words about Christ's ministry from Mark 6, verse 56. Wherever Jesus entered villages or cities or countryside, you know what that means? Wherever Jesus Christ went, people kept laying the sick in the marketplaces, imploring him that they might just touch the fringe of his cloak. And as many as did were healed. In Jesus' day, sickness was pervasive. It was throughout the land. And not just a few people were sick. Earlier, if you recall, we studied in John 5 about the pool of Bethesda, which had five porticos, large covered areas in Jerusalem. And it says in John 5:3, in these porticos lay a multitude of those who were sick. Remember what they were all waiting for? The stirring of the waters, because there was this belief that somehow an angel came down and would heal you if you went into the water. Everywhere you go, there's sickness. By the way, everywhere you go, there are opinions about sickness. People got opinions, strong opinions about sickness. Of course, some of them are like Job's miserable comforters. Imagine if right now someone amongst us took out a phone and we just did this survey and they called Parkview, Corwin, St. Francis, Memorial, and Penrose. Random five. Pick any five you like anywhere in the world. Do you think we'd find any of the hospitals empty? Do you think we'd find any of them saying something like, well, we have a few for surgeries, but there's no one sick here? No, doesn't happen. You can't escape sickness. It's everywhere. Sooner or later, you will be sick. And just with that, there are some applications, I think, of that truth. One of them is if you are healthy, what should you do? Rejoice. Be glad. Make the most of your health. Praise God. But also, if you're healthy, and especially if you're almost always healthy, we probably have a few of those in here, who would brag, I've never been in the hospital. I'm never sick. Beware of becoming prideful against the sick. You ever been on the receiving end of that? Yeah. Why are you sick exactly? What do you think you've done? Yeah, like Job's miserable comforters, right? Job was arguably the most blameless man on the planet in his day. God himself says repeatedly of Job, he's blameless. What did all of his comforters think? He must have sinned. He must have sinned. Like the disciples in John 9 where they go, Lord, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Surely. And Jesus says, neither one. Beware of becoming prideful against those who are sick. This is one of the common sicknesses of our day. People become prideful about their health. They think that they are more favorable in the sight of God than those who may be sick. Why was Lazarus sick? We have no idea. We do not know the reason for why Lazarus was sick. There is zero indication in the text that somehow he was sick and he was being afflicted by God in response to some sin. And as I said, Job was a blameless man, and yet he himself got sick. Sickness is also, it is not a sign that the Lord doesn't love you or that he's loving you any less. Repeatedly in this text, we are told Jesus loved Lazarus. He loved Mary. He loved Martha. But still, Lazarus became sick. Sickness is a serious worldwide problem, but with great spiritual potential. There is potential for great benefit. And here I do want to share with you some of J.C. Ryle's article on sickness. He writes this, and I'll just give some excerpts here. And this is talking about the benefits, the spiritual benefits that can be, their potential benefits in sickness. He says, This is not going to be with everyone, but he says this. I know very well that sickness is one of the supposed weak points in God's government. Can God be a God of love when he allows pain? Can God be a God of mercy when he permits disease? Such is the reasoning of some men, but it is most unreasonable. God allows, listen to this, God allows pain and sickness and disease not because he loves to vex man, but because he desires to benefit man's heart and mind and soul unto all eternity. He has a long excerpt in there about how sickness only came into the world because of sin, that in the beginning God created all things good, even very good. But then sin came into the world, and sin spread to all men, and with that death and with that illness. And so Ryle lists out five potential benefits of sickness. Here they are. This is kind of the heart of his article. Number one, sickness helps to remind men of death. Is that true? It can. Most people live as if they were never going to die, he writes. They follow business or pleasure or politics or science as if the earth was their eternal home. But a heavy illness goes far to dispel these delusions. He's just an exceptional writer, by the way. I like this, the way he writes. He says it awakens men from their daydreams about this life, and it reminds them that they have to die as well as live. And this, I say, is a mighty good. That is a potential benefit. You know, God can use sickness to cause you to think about the fact that you're only here for a short time, that you're not here forever. The Russians would often say, "Мы не вечные," we're not eternal. It means we're not eternally here on this earth. It was a way of trying to change your perspective on things. Second, sickness can help to make men think seriously about God and their souls, and about the world to come. He says most people in their days of health find no time for these thoughts. They put them away. They try to put them out of sight. But a severe disease has a wonderful power of mustering and rallying thoughts about God. Even a wicked king like Ben-Hadad, when he was sick, thought of Elisha, 2 Kings 8:8. You go back, and one of the things that some of the great writers of the Puritan era in the 1800s would do is they would pull scripture from all over the place. You have to go back and check it. They were so filled with scripture. He says, surely anything that helps us just to think is a good thing. Third potential benefit of sickness. Sickness helps to soften men's hearts and to teach us wisdom. The natural heart is as hard as stone. It sees no good in anything that is not of this life, and no happiness except in this world. But a long illness goes far to correct these foolish ideas. Listen to this statement. Surely anything that obliges us to alter our weights and measures of earthly things is a real good. Sickness does do that. It can make you put things into perspective and say, you know, that isn't that important. At one point he says, women who think of balls and the opera will find such things to be miserable comforters on the sickbed. Some of his writing, you can tell, it's 1800s. Next, fourth. Sickness helps to humble us. We are all naturally prideful and high-minded, but a sickbed is a mighty tamer of prideful thoughts. Sickness forces on us the mighty truth that kings and subjects, masters and servants, rich and poor, are all dying creatures, and we will all soon stand side by side at the judgment bar of God. Surely anything that humbles us is good. Good insights. Like I wanted to share those with you. I was like, these have to be part of Sunday sermon because they're just so good. In case you don't listen to it later or read it. Finally, he says, sickness helps to test men's religion of what sort it is. All have a religion, but few have a religion which will bear up under inspection. Disease is sometimes most useful to a man in exposing the worthlessness of his soul's foundation. Many a creed looks well on the smooth waters of health. but turns out to be utterly useless on the rough waves of the sickbed. You know, his writing brings me to tears because who writes like that? He says, just as storms of winter expose defects in a man's dwelling, so sickness exposes the defects in a man's faith. Surely anything that makes us find out the real character of our faith is a good thing. Five benefits, potential benefits of sickness. So concerning sickness in general, understand this. Sickness is a worldwide, serious, pervasive problem that we all have to deal with. And the opinions are all over the board on what you should do when you get sick. But listen, there are real potential benefits for good when it comes to sickness. And he's just listed a few of them, but there are many more. And one of them is, as we'll see in the text, sickness can be for the glory of God and for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I did think of this psalm before we move on. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, before I was afflicted, there's your word, Pastor Rick, before I was afflicted, I was going astray. But now I obey your word. It was good for me to be afflicted, in order that I might learn your decrees. And now I know, O Lord, that your laws are righteous, and in faithfulness you afflicted me. Psalm 119, 67, 71, and 75. So sickness is a serious problem, but with great potential for benefits. What about this sickness? This sickness. Well, of course, it's the same way. This sickness was definitely a problem, and I want you to see that it was especially a problem for Jesus. Look and you'll see what I mean. What is the first word you have in 11:1? Now. In fact, it is but. It is an adversative. And I want you to see what happens here. Verse 1 tells us that Jesus' friend Lazarus, who was sick, lived where? Bethany. He lived in Bethany, a small village of the larger area called Judea. Bethany of Judea, sort of like Belmont of Pueblo. You know, a little small part, a little neighborhood, a little village. That's where this man lived. Jesus' friend Lazarus was sick in Bethany of Judea. Where had Jesus just been? Judea. And he had just left there because back there in Judea, the Jews were seeking to kill him. Remember that? Last week's sermon. They had picked up stones. I mean, they're ready to kill him. Jesus sort of talked them down off the ledge, but still at the end of that conversation, they are seeking to grab him. And so we read these words at the end of chapter 10. Look at verse 40. And he went away. That means he went away from Judea, away from Bethany, away from that whole area. He went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was first baptizing, and he was staying there. Many were coming to him and were saying, while John performed no sign, yet everything John said about this man was true, and many were believing him in him there, but a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Martha, it was that Mary who had anointed the Lord with the ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And what the Spirit of God is doing here is showing you the dilemma that was brought about for Jesus Christ due to his beloved friend's sickness. That's one of the problems of sickness. That if you're not the one who's sick, somebody else's sickness can be a problem / opportunity for you. Jesus actually had every reason not to go back there. He had every reason to not go back to Judea. For one thing, he'd just left. For another, the Jews were seeking to kill him. So to go back there now was to risk his life. Also, he's busy with ministry where he is. People are coming to him from everywhere. And things are going well. Right? Many are believing in him, verse 42 tells us. Plus, did his disciples want to go back there? Absolutely not. Look down at verse 8. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, The Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? So on one hand, Jesus had every reason not to go back and tend to beloved Lazarus, who was sick. On the other hand, he had every reason to go. Like what? He loved him. And he loved his family. And this illness could be used for the glory of God and for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pause for a moment and consider that. That when we have a beloved family member, it could be your father, your mother, your brother, your sister. When you have anyone that you know and love, it could be a brother or sister in Christ in the church. When anyone whom you know and love is sick, that can cause a problem for you. It can cause a dilemma about what you are to do. It can be very inconvenient for you, even costly. On the other hand, sickness can become an opportunity for you to demonstrate sacrificial love, just like Jesus Christ did. Sickness can be an opportunity for you to further the gospel. Sickness can be an opportunity for you to bring glory to God. Remember the WWJD? What would Jesus do? I kind of like it better. What did Jesus do? And in this case, what did he do? In spite of the risk, in spite of the opposition, in spite of the threat, in spite of the inconvenience, and in spite of how well everything was going for him where he was, Jesus went back. In love for Lazarus, Mary, Martha, in love for God the Father, and he did it for the glory of God. Notice what Jesus says now concerning this sickness, verse 4. And we'll obviously get more into this next week. But when Jesus heard this, he said, probably to his disciples, and to those who brought the message. By the way, when it says in verse 3, so the sisters sent to him. I mean, how did you do that in those days? They didn't send a text or an email or a tweet. They sent someone or some people out to where Jesus was in order to bring him back. And Jesus then said, probably to those messengers and to his disciples and to those about him who were believing in him, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. What is glory? I ask that many times. Hopefully by now, almost everyone knows because you've heard it so many times. Glory is a summation term, you know, sigma, summation. Glory is the summation of everything about God that makes him worthy of worship, if we're talking glory of God. If it's glory of man, it's the summation of everything about that individual that makes that person worthy of praise. You know, the glory of a man is to overlook a transgression. Can you do that? That's a proverb, by the way. The sum of what makes a man praiseworthy is that that person can overlook transgressions in other people. That is a praiseworthy thing. Well, the glory of God is a summation term here. And Jesus says this sickness is not to end in death. Now, did Lazarus die? Yes, he did. So what does that mean? Well, he means this sickness is not ultimately, in this case, going to end merely in Lazarus' death. It's a unique sickness. It's a different case. It's a special case. Okay? He doesn't mean the disease isn't fatal. It was fatal. What he means is there's more here than what you think. This sickness is not ultimately unto death, but it is unto or for the sake of the glory of God. In what way? As we study the rest of this chapter next week, the wisdom of God, the power of God, the love of God, the compassion of God, the mercy of God is going to be put on visible display in this sickness. You know what? That's a potential in any sickness. God's glory can be put on display in sickness. I'll give you an illustration in a moment. But notice what else he says. This sickness is not to end in death, but it is for the sake of the glory of God, in order that as God's glory is put on display, as God's power and love and compassion and might and mercy and kindness are all put on display through this, what's going to happen as a result? The Son of God, it's that the Son of God may be glorified by this sickness. How so? As we'll see next week, Jesus Christ, by his word, is going to raise his beloved Lazarus up to life from the dead out of the grave. What do you think that is? S-I-G-N. That's a sign. John's gospel is built around signs. Remember that how he ends his gospel? He says, I haven't written all the signs that were performed. If I was to write all the signs that Jesus did, the books of earth would not fill, you know, it'd fill the books. The earth could not contain the books that would record all the signs of Jesus Christ. But these signs are written in order that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah and that by believing, you would have life in his name. Twofold purpose of John's gospel, twofold purpose of this sign. That you would believe, if you don't already, that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the Savior of the world, that he is the anointed prophet, priest, and king that God promised throughout the Old Testament. And then, second purpose, that by believing that, you would have life in his name. You know what part of life in his name is? Handling sickness. Handling sickness by faith. And when others around you are sick, let's see if you can finish this one. What you should show to a friend in sickness is blank, even if he departs from the fear of the Lord. Now, Job said that to his miserable comforters, and in one word, he told you what should be shown to those who are sick. What's the word? I'll give you another proverb that says the same thing. What is desirable in a man is blank. Kindness, thank you. Kindness. Not what a lot of people show. But that's what should be shown. All your sick friend needs for you is kindness. Even if they took the medicine that you wouldn't have given them. Even if they got the vaccine that you wouldn't have gotten. I would step on toes there, right? All that is needed from you is not judgment, not condemnation, not your opinion. Kindness. That's from Scripture, beloved. So what am I saying? Sickness in general, you know what? Sickness in general is a serious, pervasive problem that everyone deals with. Don't become prideful about your health. Don't look down on those who are sick. Look at sickness as an opportunity for you to show the love of Jesus Christ, to show the mercy and kindness of God, and you become one who is an encourager to those who are sick and afflicted. And second, what about this sickness? Well, as we'll see next week, this sickness was not unto death, but for a beautiful display of the glory of God, all of his wonderful attributes that make him worthy of worship and praise. And it was to the end that Jesus Christ would be glorified by everyone who believes. May that be you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. Thank you for just a brief time to think about sickness. Everyone in this room, at one time or another, becomes sick. We all deal with it, Father. And Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom and discernment for how to respond in a way that pleases Christ when it comes to sickness and those who are sick. Father, I look forward to studying more in depth the verses that are to follow, to see how you are glorified and how Christ is glorified in the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And I forgot to tell you my story, so I'll have to tell it next week.